Welcome to Amber Energy, the podcast. Each episode, we talk about what it takes to be the best entrepreneur you can be and how to take your business or your client's business to the next level when it comes to graphic design, branding, and so much more. Let's get started. Welcome to Amber Energy, the podcast. Amber Jacobs is my amazing co-host. My name is Rachel Sedwick. Amber, why don't you start off by giving us some highlights from your week, or a highlight?
Yeah, so I'm stoked because I kind of like, it's like one of those things where you say and you put it out into the universe and it kind of comes back to you sometimes. So I'm excited about some prospects I got coming down. My goal next year is to kind of start going after some like investment companies and like holding companies and even PR firms. And so I got some kind of some fun things coming down the pipe that are kind of like the universe heard me maybe, and they're kind of coming back around. So I'm excited about some of those kinds of prospects.
Awesome. Any personal highlights from the week? Fun things from Thanksgiving weekend?
No, not too much. I mean, we had a good, you know, downtime weekend. It was nice.
You created a wreath, right? You did some wreath making?
Yeah, I did that, I guess. So yeah, we needed some wreaths. I made a homemade wreath for my front door, which looks kind of lovely. That was fun. I've never done that before. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. It wasn't like a Pinterest fail. It was good enough to go on the
It's okay. Door. I mean, it was a first timer, so I can't hate on that.
Well, I think your Instagram feed needs to have a picture of like you in front of the wreath this Christmas season.
I mean, I got a good colored door. I even got like a nice blue colored door. It's kind of pretty. It's a
beautiful door.
Yeah, with my big door. It's tall. It's a tall door. Yeah,
it's a good door.
I think the, you know, the giant can get through my door.
Well, your husband is pretty tall. He's kind of like a giant. So
he's got a fucking like 9-foot door.
I mean, it's a pretty good door.
Okay, moving on.
Let's see, highlight from my week. I've lived in Dallas now for like 6 weeks or something. I just moved here. And I went to downtown Dallas for the first time in like since I've been here this morning, actually. And that was kind of a highlight because like, even though I like living in the suburbs now, I do like being in, you know, a bustling city every now and again. And it usually means that I can visit a cool new coffee shop and try some new coffee. So I had a really good espresso this morning and got some downtown flavor, got some breakfast tacos and saw a friend. So that's my highlight of the week. It's coffee and tacos.
Not too shabby. It sounds like a nice one.
It was lovely. So our topic today is spending money to make money. And so this is going to be great for any business owner or someone in business, someone thinking about starting a business, but also great for someone specifically in the design industry too, because that is obviously where you are an expert in. You are a designer and you've owned your own business for several years now. You've been in business as a designer for 12 years. And you've started your own business and now you have your own firm that you've been working with for the past several years. So I think this is going to be a fun topic.
Or at least insightful.
Insightful. Yes. And I think too, I'm excited about this topic because, you know, before we started recording, you're telling me that like, I don't think I'm good at this though, but like you are good at this and you've put in some solid investments into your business this year. And I've watched you go outside your comfort zone in that way. And I think it's already paid off, but it's going to continue paying off in the next year and years to come as well. So we're going to put all of those lessons that you've learned into this podcast for other people to learn as well. So let's first go into just some basic costs of doing business. So, i.e. the non-negotiables. If you want to start a business, you no matter what have to do this.
You gotta go get your business license. You gotta have that. So that's non-negotiable. You want to be legit. So that'd probably be your first place to start. And then next place is your software to do your trade or your thing. So whether it be machines or software, in my case, it's the Adobe Creative Suite. It's an annual subscription. Another one is your Microsoft Office, right? Suite subscription. So those are your non-negotiables. You need those. Those are your baseline to do business. I also use Sketch, which is what I use for my website stuff. That's another subscription thing that I do to design websites. So those are kind of like, okay, to do the business, those are the things that I need, right? Next things are probably your website. So every year you pay your hosting and you pay for your URL domain name. So those are things you pay annually typically. And then your cost of your website to have it designed and built. So there could be time and energy into designing that and building that, as well as then you kind of go into your content of it all. So like the photography, do you need branding photo shoots? Do you need an overview video or what to expect video or a testimony video? Video is king, right? So spending money on video, so a videographer. So those are kind of like your things, kind of like baseline to get started with. And then if you want to kind of start doing the next level stuff of, I didn't start out with this right away. I did this kind of a couple years in. I got QuickBooks for my business, so that way I could have better tracking of my expenses and invoicing and payment system. So then I got that. And then sometimes, you pay for social media. So paid ads on Google or social are next things you could or could not do for marketing. Then I paid, eventually got kind of big enough to where I'm like, okay, I need a better system for proposals. So now I use HoneyBook. So the kind of like, I kind of built on more and more as I kind of got more invested into my business. So, another big thing you have to pay for is, your computer, right? I need a nice big screen MacBook Pro. I need a big screen monitor to do my work. So there's kind of some things there. And then I do a lot of photography. So then I have invested in a nice camera and lenses and lighting and backdrops and different things like that for my photography stuff. So there's kind of like those baseline things you need to do your business, and then kind of those cherries on tops as you get going.
Yeah. And things too, as your business grows, that you need to do, like this year, recently, actually, you got a brand new website, right?
Yeah, that was not what I had budgeted for the year, but it just has to happen, right? So
yeah,
I had it done on a different platform, and the developer that was helping me maintain that platform decided to no longer continue doing business doing that. And so I had to like rejigger my plans on the year and have my website.
Hey, new website.
Yeah. And so, because then I'm like, oh, well, if I'm going to rebuild my website and redesign it, I might as well rip off the bandaid and do a new brand and photo shoot and like, get some video and like do some other stuff. So it was just kind of like a, practice what you preach moment and like just kind of do the whole nine yards. So yeah, it was an unforeseen couple of budget bits that I had to do this year, but that's the cost of doing business sometimes.
Exactly. And that's kind of like goes into our why, as far as why is it important to spend money to make money? So like maybe tie it into an example, how will you spending this unforeseen money on your new website and brand photography, for example, how will that make you money as a designer and business owner?
Right. Well, as a designer, I think, that's your face of your business. Like if you don't look the part, then why should people spend money on me? Right. Yeah. So it's kind of like looking the part to some degree. Like I better look like, I'm worth it. And I'm big time enough to like, oh, she's like fucking legit. So, for me, I have to have a good looking website. I'm a personal brand. Amber Design is a personal brand of sorts. So I tell all my clients, oh yes, you need a photo shoot, and yes, you need videography, and yes, you need a responsive website. Well, God damn it, I better have it myself. So, because what good am I if I don't practice what I preach?
Yeah.
So it's really important to me, and it'll pay off in spades later because I'm kind of leveling up my look and feel, and hopefully leveling up that type of clientele that I'm going after as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you especially because like you, as part of your services, you do your Amber Design does website design and logo design. And so like if you had a shitty website or a shitty logo or a website that didn't work, then how could you tell your clients that?
It's like a dentist with bad teeth, right?
Yeah.
It's like
or an obese personal trainer. Right.
It doesn't work. Like it's like I wouldn't hire that person to do that for me if they don't look the part.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just looking the part and making sure that everything's in alignment with what you say.
Well, and also just not having like things that would disrupt or like distract a consumer if they're on your website. If they go to your website because maybe they were referred to you as a designer and they like can't navigate it, or they can't click on something, or like something disrupts their process in finding out who you are as a designer and who, what Amber Design is all about, then like that kind of turns a prospect off, right?
Well, if it doesn't have a sales funnel too, which we can do a whole new podcast about sales funnels.
Oh, but we will. We will. So I mean, like, in essence, you having all of that set up and looking beautiful and being responsive, that's going to make you money in the future because you're going to get more clients that way. You're going to have less people that go to your website and say, never mind. I don't know about this girl. Like, you're not going to get someone deciding not to work with you because of your website, right?
Yeah, like not being functional or not loading properly, right? So I've also invested some money in some like image optimizers and to help with my SEO and load times as well.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's already doing wonders for you. All right. So what are some of the ways, aside from that, that you've spent money in the last few years that you had already, that you've already seen dividends from? So the website and a new brand shoot was, you know, that was recent. So what are some of the things maybe you did 2 or 3 years ago in your business that you've seen positive results from?
My video. I spent money on a video overview, which I probably might have to. My videographer guy would be like, yes, Amber, you need a new video. But about 3 years ago, I spent money on like an overview video, and it kind of encapsulates what to expect when working with me, like seeing me move and my mannerisms and my silly things that I say. We call them Amberisms because I do a lot of that. So you can kind of like see an inside scoop as to like my like funky little personality, like bubbly, energetic personality in the video. And people, a lot of people actually click on the video to like, even if it's just the first 30 seconds, they're like, oh yeah, I want to work with her. And I'll have that as a comment. Like, why did you choose to work with me? Like, I don't know. I watched some of your video and I was like, oh, she seems cool. I want to work with her. So I think the video was probably one of the biggest things I could have invested in.
Yeah. Well, and I think the way that you go about your process, and honestly, the way a lot of graphic designers go through their process is like, you're starting a relationship with the client. Like, you really need to know everything about their business in order to create a great logo or a great website or brand identity. Like, it's very personal. Even if it's not personal because it's their business, like, there's a level of of humanism and personalism.
Like, do I want to work with this person? It's kind of like dating to some degree. Like, do I even like this person? Do I, you know, is she, you know, funky and fun enough, or is she too outgoing enough? I don't know. Maybe I don't jive with that kind of personality type. So yeah, it's kind of a personality interview at first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that video is like kind of a nice first step of them getting to know you, and then they reach out, and then you do the call, and then they're just like hooked because, oh yeah, this girl is great.
I want to work with Awesome Amber too. That sounds great.
Yeah. Well, cool. So video is a big one. Obviously, you know, using some of the systems that you talked about before and like spending money on those systems.
Yep, QuickBooks. Although I might consider another system now, but QuickBooks is good right now.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So what are some things on the flip side that you've spent money on in your business that you regret or wish that you would have spent differently? Maybe a system or something like tool.
Nope, you have no regrets. You just learn.
No regrets? Anything that you would have, that if you could have gone back, would you have done differently?
No.
No, wow.
No, it's all learning.
Yeah.
Build and learn and grow, build, learn and grow.
So what are some of those lessons then?
I mean, I guess like you could say that maybe I shouldn't have gone with Umbraco, but
The developer site that you use for your first website.
It's open source, really big in Europe. You know, we thought it was going to go more popular in the United States, but it didn't. And that's okay. It was just a learning process. It just wasn't right or wrong. It just was.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as like investments go, like, I guess it could be people. Like, there's some people early on a couple years ago that weren't great investments and partners with my business, like as far as like contract designers that weren't good fits. But again, it's kind of like that live and learn. There's not right or wrong. It's just live and learn.
Yeah. Lessons build us up to who we are now.
Exactly. So I wouldn't say there's like real big regrets or why I wish I would have done it differently. I think it was just my natural organic progression with learning business. You know, I didn't learn business in school. I learned how to be a good graphic designer. And I learned the business chops along the way. Something that I probably need to invest in, but probably haven't invested in, would be probably like really nailing down like some, you know, probably working with an attorney to nail down, you know, business contracts and various things like that. But I haven't gone there yet.
Soon, someday soon.
Yeah. Well, and that's one thing I probably would recommend, that, you know, if you're really going to go big, you probably get a little attorney and like get all your, you know, trademarks and contracts and various things all worked out.
Yeah. And I mean, that brings us to one of the other topics on our outline is risk versus reward. So like, say you're going to go about your business and not hire an attorney, you know, you have to think about what risk is involved there. So talk about that. Like, how do you know if a risk is worth it? Like, so maybe talk about the attorney thing. Like, you've gone this far without having like a big legal presence as far as an attorney on your side. So talk about that.
Yeah. You know, to have someone, so the risk reward, right? So like, I got an LLC. So if someone was going to come after me for crazy reason, right, they'd only be able to go after my assets of my business. So it kind of comes down to how big are your assets? You know, what do you have to lose as far as business assets goes? Like, my business assets aren't that great. Like, okay, you want to take my laptop and some of my shit? Like, I can go for it. But yeah, like, some companies have buildings and huge, big, expensive equipment and fleets of things and various, so they only got a lot more to lose if they got sued. So my risk reward isn't, you know, I've kind of taken the note of like, all right, you want my shit, fucking take my shit, I don't care, like, I'll buy new shit. I don't got a lot in the business, right? So I don't got a lot to lose. Yeah. But some companies have a lot to lose, and I don't have that risk. So I guess that's part of it too, is like a risk of losing what you got, your capital.
So gotta take inventory of that,
inventory of your capital. So that's one bit. And then, you know, what's going to happen to me if I got sued? People are going to come after me probably for trademark infringement, possibly, but even still, it's going to be just a cease and desist. So I'm not overly worried about getting sued, right? I don't have like, I'm not on site at somebody's house. So I'm not going to get hurt. No one's going to get hurt, you know? So it's kind of like that, also that risk of like, do I have a lot of employees that are going to get hurt on the job? You know, I don't have a lot of that type of, you know,
how risk. Dangerous is your business, basically.
Yeah. I don't got drivers on the road.
So much.
I don't got drivers on the road. I don't got people in an office, right? So as far as like someone getting hurt liability wise, and I don't got a lot of liability. So I've kind of taken the, you know, stance that I haven't really had to invest or thought to invest into an attorney, because I don't have a lot of risk in business of capital and you know, getting lawsuits, someone getting hurt, right? Yeah. So if you've got those types of things, like people could get hurt on the job within your business, or you've got a lot to lose if someone sues you for a bad product that failed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a lot to lose. So you definitely need an attorney.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think just with your specific business, there's not a lot you have to worry about for that. So like, if you're a graphic designer listening to this, you could probably do a lot of DIY legal contract stuff.
I've kind of gotten by with that. It's probably, you know, not good business practices as a legit business. I should probably go get a goddamn attorney and have it all written up legit wise. But I haven't yet. And that's probably, there you have it. But you know, only other thing that could possibly come up was that, you know, would be like a insider, I don't know, intelligence of a company's, you know, like kind of like that kind of patent type of stuff, like things like business. I can't, you know, non-disclosure type stuff, but I sign a lot of non-disclosure. So when I work with a lot of different, you know, big companies, I have to sign an NDA, and I make all my contractors sign NDAs. Yeah. So that's kind of like something you do anyways. So I don't know. I've kind of just assessed it, saying that I probably don't need it for now.
Yeah. And you probably don't. And I think the things that you're wanting to add in the future that would require you to have that legal aspect are more just like little frustrations, maybe. Like, I know we've talked about your contracts and like pumping those up a little bit. It's like, you know, we're adding a ghosting clause, for example. It's like, it's not do or die, but it's something that like, it would make your life a little better if you had a clause in there.
I'm not making rockets over here, right? So it's not rocket science. I'm not, you know, it's okay. At the end of the day,
just drawing them.
We're just, you know, it's okay. But if I had bigger things that really impacted people's lives and that could hurt somebody, or I don't know, but then something went faulty, you know, that's quite a different scenario. So
yeah. End of the day, I mean, if you're thinking through, like, should I pay for this? Should I do it myself? Should I do the free version? Like, you just have to think risk and reward. So it helps to kind of like write those down. What are the risks of doing it myself or doing it with that, like, a maybe less legit way? And what will the rewards be? And what's maybe the payoff of doing it the more legitimate and
or the right way.
The right way. Yeah. Is there really a right way to do everything? I mean, some stuff there is. Yeah. All right. So next question. This is a fun one. If you were given $100,000 tax-free to spend on your business right now, what would you spend it on? It can't be anything for you personally. You don't get a bag or a car. Has to be for the business.
You know, right now I'd probably just like, so a lot of my contractors and a lot of my clients are nationwide. I'd probably throw some fat party somewhere and invite them all. And like put them up somewhere.
Probably like do a retreat.
Yeah, retreat. Like in the Bahamas or something. Let's go somewhere fun. So I don't know, I'd probably spend it on my people in some really cool way. Would be one way I'd do it. You know, one thing I'd probably want to do, because I had some of my contractors and my clients I've never met before, so it'd be fun to meet them in person.
Yeah.
So that'd be one thing. Other than that, I'd probably just go full board and send some marketing dollars and really kind of turn that up a lot. But it'd probably be just those couple of areas. Within marketing, I might consider hiring some people full time, but right now I don't really need to do that.
Yeah. I mean, if you spend money on marketing, right, then you get a lot more business, right? And hence may need to hire more people. But yeah, I feel like where you're at right now, you know, you have a few contractor designers working with you. You have me, your operations conductor.
Yeah. So I feel like I'd probably just go have a fat party if I had extra money. Let's go. Let's get out of COVID. Let's go have some party time.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to some cool retreat and like do it up well. I don't know. That's probably what I would do with my money. No. Yeah. I don't really have any envision of like wanting like an office space. I think, you know, I think I've always wanted to have a remote business.
Yeah. You know, well, you have a great home office set up now. You probably have your baby on the floor somewhere. Husband maybe has the baby right now, but.
No, but like for me, like as a kid in the 90s, like I always thought it was weird, you know, coming into the working situation in like the late 2000s of like, why the fuck do we need to be butts and chairs in an office space? Don't we all have like Microsoft Teams?
Yeah, if we're on a computer.
Because like, Skype was a thing before Microsoft bought it. But it's like,
yeah,
if we got Skype and we've got electricity and Wi-Fi, like why? And we're like emailing people two doors down. Like, why the fuck do I need to be here? I've always had this dream of like, if I could be in like Fiji or whatever, like doing my work, as long as I hit the deadline, like why the fuck do you care where I am?
Yeah, exactly.
I was always like that. That's probably why I was never going to be a great employee. Cause I was always like so confused by that office model of like butts and chairs and like the 9 to 5, I was like, this is so stupid.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I've now been working fully remote myself, just in the various industries I've worked in for the last like 2 years almost, or like year and a half. And it's so nice. Like, you know, as long as I can get my stuff done, it's good. Sometimes I'm working till 3 PM. Sometimes I turn back on my laptop at 8 PM. It's just a matter of like what I feel like I have capacity for. So,
right. So I've always felt that way, even like pre-COVID, right? Mm-hmm. I was always probably a really bad employee because I was like, I don't know why I got to be here right now. I should be on a beach somewhere. Doing the same goddamn work.
Yep, exactly. So, all right. So if you had $100,000, you'd spend it on big party for your employees and or some marketing dollars.
Well, and my clients. We're all coming too.
Yeah. Oh, clients are coming too. All right.
Partners. Cool. We're gonna have a fucking party.
Well, make sure, you know, I know you've had some like barbecue sauce clients and some like liquor clients, like wine labels. Like, make sure you bring those ones because then they can bring the goods.
And don't forget the ganj.
Oh yeah, Speedy Bud.
Speedy Bud.
I mean, I'm here for that too.
Why not? It's legal. Let's go.
Big party. Yeah.
Just kidding. Not kidding.
not really. But yeah, I think the marketing thing is one thing I want you to touch on is like, you know, how do you decide to spend money on marketing? I know you as Amber Design, you really haven't spent much, if anything, on marketing, right?
I've just been relying on a good rep, you know, word of mouth and never burning a bridge and staying top of mind on LinkedIn and email. I'm really good at that. But they say, you know, you should spend like anywhere from 5 to 10% of your gross income on marketing.
Yeah. Well, and I think what you just said too is important for a listener who's in business with them for themselves or owns a business to consider as like, that is also an investment. That's also spending money, even though you're not like, here's my money, post this ad, you're still spending your time and your commitment and your capacity on things like, you know, never burning a bridge and keeping up good relationships and SEO. Like you're doing good work and therefore you're getting a lot of work from referrals or repeat business.
I'm on a pretty good point right now too. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, people find you all the time when they just search graphic designers on Google.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So I must be doing something right, but I haven't spent a red cent really on like actual paid Google or actual paid social.
Yeah.
And you have to like, if you're going to do it, you have to kind of go all in. You can't just like, I'm just going to spend $100. Like that ain't shit, don't work. Like
yeah.
Either you're all in or you're not. Like you got to kind of play the game or you don't.
You have to have a plan. If you're going to do any kind of ads, like you have to create some like robust sales funnels and all of the things like we're going to talk about on another episode, but like SEO, you have to know about SEO, what it means, how is it going to work for your business versus another business? What's going to put you at the top of that Google page and what's going to make you stand out as a business without spending money?
Yeah. So there's that. And then targeted ads and their various things too. So, you know, the other thing that people do is, you know, they're investing in, you know, some people do trade shows, some people, they're out in different ways with sales.
Yeah. Or they join groups, right? Yeah. They like, you're part of a few networking and like entrepreneur groups. Maybe talk about that a little bit and how that's paid off.
Yeah. It's just part of that network. You know, people, you know, it might not happen overnight. Sometimes you got to keep going and going and going. But yeah, it's about networking and that paying, you know, kind of like that pay to play a little bit, kind of like gain access to those types of folk that you want to hubnub elbows with. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're paying for that and that's okay. But you kind of get, again, what you pay for. And if people don't know about you, how the heck are they supposed to hire you? So you got to be out there. And that's one thing I think as a designer, a lot of designers, we're not typically good at selling ourselves, you know, marketing ourselves. A lot of designers tend to be more introverted. So if you're going to be a business owner or someone going into business for yourself, you better be gosh darn good at selling yourself and getting out there and being unique enough to want to be hireable.
Or having a partner that's going to do that for you.
Right. Exactly. Because there's so many graphic designers out there. There's a lot of us, honestly. But what's going to make you stand out and why do people want to work with you is the kicker and all that.
Yeah. Well, and also it's important to be realistic about what you're good at. Like, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? So someone who is more introverted, but they're a great designer. There's lots of those. And maybe owning their own business, like you do, like having a design firm or almost like agency level, like maybe that's not for them. Maybe they're better off being a contractor and working for other companies or working in a company. So there's lots of different areas that a designer can work in and thrive in.
It's just a partner that does all that good stuff for them.
Yeah, exactly. So I know you have several contractors that do contract work and they do amazing work for you, but you know, that's because they're strong at that and that's where they're at in their journey. And yeah.
Maybe it'll change.
What'd you say?
Maybe it'll change.
Maybe. I don't know. I like our contractors. They're great people. All right. So next question is, speaking of like other designers and other people starting a business, what's some advice for you that we haven't covered already, or advice for people starting a business on a budget?
you gotta wear all the hats. I mean, that's the thing in a small business. You know, we all know that though. You gotta, you know, one day you're gonna wear the business development hat, and one day you're gonna be the admin hat, and the contract writer and proposal hat. You're gonna wear the designer or the service hat, and you gotta pay accounts payable hat, invoicing, and you gotta be the tax hat. You know, So the networker and everything in between. So you gotta wear all the hats. That's just, I think everybody knows that going into it. But I think you really learn how to round out yourself. Because you're not strong in all of those areas, but you tend to have to do them anyways in the beginning. Yeah. Or you're gonna have to owe a lot of taxes. I don't know, because you did it wrong. So you know, you just gotta wear a lot of hats.
Mm-hmm. Well, and finding ways that you can save money that is not going to like do any disservice to you, and like it's gonna be good for your business.
I mean, there's a lot of free things out there, you know, like. Defarious, like, I don't know, when I first got started, you know, I didn't have Intuit QuickBooks, but I was really good at, you know, organizing all my receipts by category. So mm-hmm. I had like a file organizer. And then, you know, I had like a free mileage tracking app that I used for a while, you know, before I got QuickBooks.
Find ways to automate.
Yeah. So you kind of have like little things that you use to kind of get yourself organized, but maybe on the super cheap budget when it comes to running your business. But you do that, and eventually you're like, okay, I'm tired of doing it this way. I've finally, quote, making it a little bit. I'm going to pay for some better services to help keep me more organized. That helps my bookkeeper. That helps my whatever to, you know, make my business better. And also, like,
think about
things that you don't want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Think about the things that take you so much time and effort and, like, frustration because you really don't like doing them, like organizing all your receipts and stuff like that, and, like, wouldn't it be easier? And then what time is it going to give you back if you do something like, you know, using QuickBooks or using a system that does something for you or automates some part of the process as a business owner?
Right now I've got a bookkeeper that helps me with my S-Corp, you know, my bill, my payroll, right? Cause I don't want to deal with that. So they deal with all that. And they pay Washington state taxes. They pay my federal taxes, give me my paid stubs. They take care of my taxes every year. And I just want to deal with it. Cause I just, not my jam, yo.
Yeah, exactly. So delegation is a big part of being a business owner. And especially as you kind of level up out of the like, okay, it's just me, then eventually you'll get to a point where you can delegate things and not only, you know, have more time for you to do the work that you love, like you on your side, like you have more time now to be a designer and design beautiful things for clients. Now that you have some people doing things for you, you have systems automating things for you, but also just more time to live your life outside of your business. So you don't feel like you're working 24/7. Cause I think that's something that a lot of business owners fall into is that they find that, yeah, I'm not a butt in a seat anymore, but I'm literally working 24/7.
Plus they're not very disciplined. I think that's a problem with business owners not being disciplined with office hours.
Yeah.
So I'm very disciplined when it comes to my office hours. I'm, you know, 8 to 3. That is it. That's all you got me for office hours. I'm very disciplined. I don't jump back online. Anything after that can wait till tomorrow. Because I have a family. I have 2 sons and a husband, and I like to go do things. So I'm really strict on my business hours.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of business owners tend to be.
Yeah. And I think you've proven that, like, you don't need to be that way. Like, you can have those boundaries. And your business is still thriving. You're still getting business. You're still doing great, making the monies.
Yeah. You're going to work smarter, not harder. And set good boundaries. Set good expectations with your prospects and clients, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think enough agencies and people do that.
Yeah. Because they're so afraid of, like, losing the client or not getting enough clients, not getting enough business. It's like, well, why not just focus on the quality? Set your boundaries for your own mental and physical health. Let it fall where it may.
Getting rid of the churn. That's one thing I always hated about agencies is that churn, right? It's like the client says jump and the agency says how high, and may make sure that it gets done tomorrow at 8 a.m. And it's like,
yeah,
unrealistic expectation. Or a C-level person comes and drops something on your desk and you got to get it done by the next day. But they hand it off to you end of day and they expect you to work overnight to get it done. That's unrealistic and not cool. And like that shit happens all the time. And I'm not for that. So better set realistic boundaries and expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
Full boundaries, realistic expectations.
Yeah, I think it's so important as not only a business owner, but someone just like, you know, if you're working at a company, like figure out what your boundaries need to be for you to be able to keep thriving and being happy.
Yeah. Like I don't expect my contractors to, you know, work on something. Right. So it's like, are you available and interested? You know, you gotta ask them. Right. I think that's a whole other thing that I think contractors tend to like get, like they presume their availability, and, or, you know, presume their, you know, availability. Mm-hmm. So I think that sucks. And I think that happens a lot. They take advantage of people. And I'm very cognizant of that because I used to be on the other end. So I'm always like, are you available next week? Are you available for the project? Are you still interested in this project? Like, because they might not be, or they might have booked out and not available. And
well, you know, you don't take it personally and you don't make it count against that contractor if they say no. And I think that's why you have such great contractors.
They're not my employees.
Yeah.
Like they're their own bees. Like that's just the end of it. So are you available and interested is, you know, what you got to ask.
Yeah. Well, and that's why you still have good ones that are available and interested ongoing. So
I respect their time and I value them.
Yeah. Plus you've built a good little culture with Amber Design. You know, you're on the small side compared to, you know, big design agencies or whatever. But I think we've talked about this before, is like if Amber Design was to become like that bigger sized agency, like you're doing things the way that you would have wanted them to be done as a low, you know, newer designer at an agency, because you want to make the design world a better place. And you do that by leading from the front.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Well, I think this was a great podcast just on the risks and rewards of spending money, not spending money. Hopefully anyone listening, still listening, got some good insights from this. Amber has been in business for herself in all the different ways for quite a while. And obviously she's still learning. I'm still learning. But a lot of her lessons are going to be lessons for you. So hopefully don't make too many mistakes along the way. But
also share with me your mistakes or your things. Like, I love to hear. My listeners. You're hilarious.
I didn't make any mistakes. What are you
doing? You're like, my shit don't stink. I'm going to polish my shoulders.
I'm good. But yeah, if you're a listener, share with us. Like if you're listening on a podcast platform that allows comments or reviews, like tell us your story. You can also reach out to Amber Design. And if you're a business owner or anyone needing help with anything to do with design, website, design development, brand identity, all of the services we offer, you can go to awesomeamber.com or you can email amber@awesomeamber.com and get in touch. And designers, you know, if you're a designer and you need some help and mentorship, Amber is a great mentor. She's been in the business for a while and she's helped a lot of designers do some pretty amazing things and build their own business. So, yeah. All right. Any closing thoughts, Amber?
No, I think we're square here.
Awesome. Good. Well, thank you everyone for listening. We're excited for to bring you more episodes of Amber Energy, the podcast. We look forward to the next episode with you. Bye. Okay.